Hey Maniacs, Jason Halls here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Quick Takes. In just a moment, you're going to hear Chris Hudson say this is the final Quick Take, but that's actually not true. Paul and Chris still have one more for you on February 13th. A little something to get you in the mood for Valentine's Day. Then, just a few weeks after that, get ready for the Season 2 premiere of B-Movie Mania, coming your way March 6th. We're excited for the new episodes and hope that you are too. Thanks for listening, and Uncle Lloydie, I do believe it's time for...
Quick Takes!
Hello, and welcome to our final Quick Takes installment. I think it's our final one, right? Has everyone else done one of these?
Pretty sure.
Okay. All right, our final Quick Takes installment. I am Mike Hayes' favorite B-movie maniac, Crazy Chris Hudson, and with me is everyone else's favorite B-movie maniac, Jason Halls.
Howdy.
Say hello, Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Wah, wah. I hope everyone can bear with me, because I'm just getting over a little flu kind of stuff, so I'll be coughing a lot, and I'll be a little raspy voiced.
Sexy.
And Jay will do that for the next episode. Oh, very sexy. It's my jazz voice. listening to B-Movie Mania. Anyway, yes, you are indeed listening to B-Movie Mania. And today we're discussing the last movie that I watched in 2017, Midnight Meat Train. And for those of you not familiar, this is a 2008 movie based on a Clive Barker short story starring Bradley Cooper and Vinnie Jones and directed by, I'm going to mangle this name, Ryuhei Kitamura, I think. But
yep.
Yeah, but he did one of my favorite movies, Versus, that we watched at one of our 24-hour marathons. Great movie. This one? Well, we'll find out. As far as I'm concerned, Midnight Meat Train is about a cannibal butcher riding on a train and the photographer who loves him.
It's, well, I've got the little IMDb synopsis here. Can I read that?
Does it say that it is not only an interesting take on the popular butcher genre, but it's also a great passing of the torch story?
It doesn't, I don't think. It does say,
well, then.
A photographer's obsessive pursuit of dark subject matter leads him into the path of a serial killer who stalks late-night commuters, ultimately butchering them in the most gruesome ways imaginable.
That does not sound like the movie I watched.
Not really.
I think I watched the wrong thing.
No.
These represent missing people for the last 3 years.
The only way to make it stop.
I followed them into the subway. He butchers them like cattle. They never find the remains because he unloads the meat somewhere.
Is to go for the ride.
Of course, there is a pretty big twist in this movie, so if you were to give that away in the synopsis, it would spoil a lot. So, Chris, how did you feel about watching Bradley Cooper's Meat Train?
Well, you know, watching Bradley Cooper's Meat Train was an experience unlike any other.
If you had to sum up the experience, though, if you had to try to sum up the experience of watching Bradley Cooper's Meat Train, what would that be like?
Well, now that I've seen this movie, I know that Bradley Cooper likes to eat ass, so I feel like I was eating the ass of Bradley Cooper's Meat Train.
He sure did. I mean, are we just going right to the butt-eating scene, or, I mean...
Let's save a little something for the end, you know?
Okay.
We'll build that up a little bit.
Have you ever ridden the Midnight Meat Train, Chris? Or a Midnight
Thankfully,
Meat
no.
Train?
No.
Never?
Well, I mean, maybe. Well, I might have ridden a Midnight Meat Train at some point or another, but I don't really remember it. It's not an experience I would like to... I would like to remember that. No way. No, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Anytime you remember your Midnight Meat Train experience, not really, you're not having a good day.
Yeah, I would say most people who rode the Midnight Meat Train don't remember it because they're dead.
Yeah, usually. But that's one thing about this movie is everyone who rides the Midnight Meat Train ends up dead. How do more people not know about the Midnight Meat Train and know to avoid it?
That's a giant plot hole, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess overall, if I could do my quick take on the quick take.
Yeah.
I did enjoy a lot of this movie. I do think it's an interesting kind of idea, and there is a little loose mythology to it that I did enjoy and find interesting. For me, it's super bloody, okay?
But it's mostly digital bloody.
It is, but there's also, like, a POV shot of a woman's head looking at her own body.
That was pretty interesting.
You know, and I'm just not into, like, gore porn type stuff like Saw.
Yeah.
I felt like this movie skirted that a little bit. Well, I don't know, maybe depending on your tastes. But, like, for me, I just, there was a lot of stuff where I was watching it, I'm like, ugh, ew, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of torture porn stuff. I mean, I like gory horror and stuff, but I don't like it when you linger. I like practical stuff.
You know, yeah.
Like, good old school 80s horror movie stuff where it's all practical. And this was all, like, a lot of digital stuff, and it loses something in the translation.
It does.
It's just not convincing.
I mean, I like The Thing.
And it just looks bad.
I like, you know, I like all the Carpenter horror films. Those are, like, my favorite. And I just feel like this could have been done more in that style. I just, the obvious blood and guts. And I know the movie's called Midnight Meat Train, so what do you expect? But, like, it for me, like, the just the over-the-top bloody gut stuff was a little bit of a turnoff for
me. When the camera, like, lingers on the scene, the guy of the Midnight Meat Train, not the conductor, but the writer, I guess. Midnight
Mahogany.
Meat Train writer, is that a thing? Mahogany. Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. He, the camera just lingers on spooning out eyeballs and ripping off fingernails, and it's just, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was, but that was only like one or two scenes, so the rest of it was actually pretty decent, and you're right about the mythology. It had me guessing, like, is this supernatural? Is this just a killer on a train somehow?
Yeah.
That, you know, what is up with this? Is the conductor in on it? And oh yes, he's in on
it. Did you recognize the conductor?
Yeah, well, not till after I looked it up afterwards. I knew he looked familiar, but I couldn't place him. And then, but he was in, he was in an episode of Doctor Who as the painter. What's, crap.
He was probably the best character in Defiance.
Oh, you know, I didn't,
He was one of the guys with the, like, real pasty white skin with long white hair.
Oh, okay.
A little hard to recognize, because he looks, you know, very different in this movie, but Tony Curran is his name.
Wasn't he? Yeah. He was one of the villains, I think, in Daredevil, the second season of Daredevil.
The Netflix one?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, the Netflix one, yeah.
Huh.
But enough about Daredevil and Tony Curran.
Right. The movie is beautifully shot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, the cinematography and the lighting is fantastic.
Yeah, one thing I did like, one of the shots I did really like was all the bodies hanging from the car, as it would have in, like, a butcher shop, like a meat locker.
Yeah, they transform the car into a meat locker.
Yeah, and you see the reflection of the bodies and the big pool of blood that's draining from everything. I thought it was pretty cool. And the shot where the woman's head is knocked off and you see it spins through the air and you see her looking back at her body. It was crazy stuff.
What did you think about the lighting on the scene when Bradley Cooper eats his girlfriend's butt in the diner?
Oh, yeah, that was really great. And was that the scene with the really bad jump scare?
I don't think it, no, there was a few scenes in the diner, but the butt eating scene is not the jump scare scene.
Oh, okay. Well, it should have been, because that I did not expect to see Bradley Cooper eating ass.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless you're scared of eating a butt.
I mean, I did not really picture Bradley Cooper as the ass eating type, but it kind of makes sense.
We should say, because this movie is a horror film, he's not like killing her and eating her butt. He is having sex with her in the diner and just kind of goes back there and starts working, I think is the best way to put it.
That tongue, right? Yeah, right there.
And it's obvious though, right? Like, I mean, it's not like you and I both had the same idea.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what Bradley Cooper's up to. Is this why he is this movie before Bradley Cooper was really big, and this is what happened to make him big? I don't know.
Oh yeah, I should have looked and I didn't. I don't know where this falls in his career. If this was like after Wedding Crashers,
It was after Wedding Crashers, but I think right before A-Team.
Okay,
like a year before the A-Team.
So, I mean, but again, okay, so not a bad movie. I mean, and again, we're talking about the mythology here. We're going to go ahead and give away the twist here. So if you haven't seen it and you want to, shut it off now. But the whole idea is Bradley Cooper's following this killer, or a guy who figures out to be a killer.
And he's a much better photographer than Harvey Keitel in Two Evil Eyes.
Yes, he is.
A little more likable.
Brooke Shields actually likes his photography, and she's very picky.
What interests you?
The city. Because no one's ever captured it. Not the way it really is. That's my goal. That's my dream.
Then you're failing. The next time you find yourself at the heart of the city, stay put. Keep shooting.
So he follows the serial killer and thinks that that's just what he's found, as a serial killer. But as it turns out, there's a purpose behind the killings, and that these bodies are going to feed these ancient creatures that have lived under the city, and if they don't get their bodies, they're gonna like rise up and rush New York and kill everybody.
Take over, yeah.
So it's a service kind of thing.
And what's up with the conductor? Is he like? He seemed like a normal guy. He was part of this kind of conspiracy to feed these beings underneath New York, but he has some pretty superhuman strength.
Yeah, because he like lifts Bradley Cooper up by the neck, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like he, and then he rips out his tongue like with his hand and eats it.
Yes. Oh, yes. He rips out his tongue and eats it. My God. So you've got that weirdness. And then obviously you saw the chest barnacles on Vinnie Jones.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. They never really explained that.
No, he's got these weird chest barnacles.
Yeah. And it's a pretty disgusting scene where he's got a knife and he cuts them off and he puts them in a jar for no real reason. I guess he's just... A man's got to have a hobby, I guess.
Well, and so here's what I was thinking from that. Like, Mahogany has done this job so much, somehow he's become, like, infected, and he's going to turn into one of the creatures.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought that, I thought something like that would happen. Like I said, I didn't know if this was, like, a supernatural story, a monster story, or what, but I thought that, like, Bradley Cooper eventually gets this marking on his chest, which is... Obviously, he's going to take over the job.
Yeah.
So it's not really a big twist. You kind of see it coming. But at the same time, I thought, would he kind of start mutating or have some weird sort of cancerous growths on his skin? I don't know. Or maybe Vinnie Jones just hangs out at the beach too much.
You know, and
I don't know.
That actually would have been interesting if Bradley Cooper would have started growing the chest barnacles.
Yeah, yeah.
The charnacles, the chesticles.
The chesticles. They never explained that.
I don't know. Something along those lines with the chest barnacles. Because yeah. they never do go into that. They should.
It was just I think it was just to gross you out, and then that's it. It's like, we need a gross out moment here.
And this was the second time I'd seen this.
All right.
And the first time, I didn't catch the fact that Bradley Cooper, very early in the movie, has a vision of what's to come.
Yeah, yeah. What were those visions about? Is that, I mean, there's a lot that's left unexplained that keep you guessing as a viewer, but just kind of happen because the script says it should happen?
Yeah, it's like, it's like this loose mythology where... He's kind of the chosen successor of Mahogany.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Which he does become. He becomes the successor of Mahogany.
But not without a fight.
But yeah. And yet it doesn't give you a lot to work with the mythology to, you know, sort of put it together as to why he had these visions or why he ate the girl's butt in the diner or...
Yeah.
Why he got his tongue ripped out.
Yeah. I wonder if it's explained a little more in the short story and if there's a little more ass eating.
You gotta wonder.
Clive Barker seems like the kind of guy who would put a lot of butt eating in his books.
And
I don't know. I haven't read a lot of Clive Barker. So.
You know, it's another question that I had watching this, Chris, was I'd like to know, how do you take your midnight meat train? Do you take it rare or well done?
No, I'm a rare kind of guy. Mm. You know, honestly... You know, if I can get away with it, I will eat my midnight meat blue. A little bit of pretty bloody in the middle. So
wow, a bloody midnight.
Bring it out of the fridge, heat it up over a candle a little bit, and I'll eat my midnight meat a little raw.
Also saw, I'm trying to remember, I read in the trivia that Mahogany has one, he only says one word. What is the word? I can't remember.
Welcome.
If you were the midnight meat trainer and you could only say one word before you died, what word would it be and why is it mayonnaise?
Well, as we all know that you can't, if you're eating some midnight meat, you sometimes it's a little dry and you need a little bit of sauce on it, something to kind of liven things up a bit. And what better sauce or condiment than mayonnaise?
What is it?
I mean, you've got to. Mayonnaise. Can't say that too loud. I've got people sleeping in this apartment. But hey, okay, give to our Patreon at the $10 level, and I will say mayonnaise as loud as you want. But hey, there were a couple things I wanted to bring up that I really liked. The first is that Ted Raimi just shows up out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a cheap line. It's cheaper than the plate.
Maybe if you didn't sleep throughout the play, you'd actually enjoy it. What? She's been checking me out during the play.
He gets a particularly vicious death.
He does, but it's all he's got digital eyeballs. It's so awkward looking. The effect is just so bad, but it's... It's Ted Raimi, so it's pretty likable. Really, really, really like that. And the part where, you know, we're all on the midnight meat train. There's a lot of people. It's a little more crowded than usual. So who's going to die? Could be anyone. Mm-hmm. But there's a group of kids coming through selling candy. And they try to sell some to Bradley Cooper. And he's like, no, no, no. So they go to Mahogany next in the next car over. And I knew what was coming. There's no way he's going to attack these kids. And you know, there's too many people around. But the build-up, the suspense as, hey, mister, want to buy some candy? And he brings up his bag with all his killing tools. And he reaches in really slowly. And the music is just very stressful and angry.
You want to buy some candy, mister?
Go to somebody else.
Come on, man, buy some candy.
And he's got this look in his eyes like, I am going to buy your candy. And he pulls out a dollar bill and gives it to the kids and gets some candy. It was a great scene.
That was good.
My favorite scene of the movie.
The other thing I really enjoyed, like as a trend kind of in the movie, and listeners, feel free to, you know, try to spot this when if you watch Midnight Meat Train. Mahogany often gets the feeling that someone is watching him.
Oh yeah! Oh my god!
Like no matter what he's doing, like Bradley Cooper is totally hidden, but Mahogany will just like turn and look,
stare.
So yeah. This is something that I'm going to start doing, Chris. I hope you start doing it, and I encourage our listeners to start doing this.
Yeah.
Next time when you're out in public somewhere, whatever you happen to be doing, maybe you're at a restaurant or whatever, whatever you're doing, just all of a sudden stop. Then smile and turn it, look at someone. Just do the Mahogany.
Just do it for an uncomfortably long time.
Yes, yes. Just like you knew that person was staring at you. Someday you're going to catch somebody looking at you and it's going to creep them out.
And it's going to be so worthwhile when it finally happens.
Yes.
But yeah, there's one other thing. I love the Rampage Jackson scene.
Yes.
He gets it.
Little UFC.
So first of all, Bradley Cooper. Yeah, Bradley Cooper gets stopped by security with his camera, saying, oh, I need to look at this. You know, so it was Bradley Cooper's first chance to get on the midnight meat train, and he misses it because security was actually, well, I'm not going to say doing their job, but security was harassing him.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, on the midnight meat train, the UFC fighter, Rampage Jackson, I guess he was also in the A-team, he's on there with, like, his giant knife, and he gets into a fight with Mahogany.
Yes. And he actually kind of, like, holds his own, right?
Yeah, he almost won, but then the conductor came back and saved the day.
Oh, and that's when he was disappointed with Mahogany.
Yeah.
The conductor. Yeah. So the conductor is sort of like the boss in a way, it seems.
So, Jay, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who else do you think is in on this whole conspiracy? So we know, obviously, the Midnight Meat Trainer is the guy killing everyone. You've got the conductor who's, through his supernatural strength. I mean, apparently when he's not driving the train, he's in the gym.
Yep.
And then there's the cop. There's the cop that everyone goes to.
Yes.
She's in on it. But, like, who else? I mean, does the mayor know? Does the district attorney know? Because they let off the killer. They let off Mahogany, like, 20 years ago.
It would have to run pretty high. Like, I think the conspiracy has to go pretty deep. Well,
I mean, and why do you think a lot of more people aren't taking the midnight meat train? It's not like, because it's on the regular train schedule.
Yeah, wait a second. Is that another thing? Is it actually at midnight? Isn't it at, like, 2 in the
morning
or something?
No, it's like 2 in the morning. Yeah, but 2 o'clock meat train doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Rating time.
I think we're gonna give this. We're gonna make this really hard for Mike to do the graphic. So, how many cars on the midnight meat train would you give this?
Cars on the midnight meat train. Well, okay.
It's either that or you know Mahogany boils.
Chess particles. No, I'll stick with the bit of making it hard for Mike to make the graphic.
Yeah.
Well, okay, like I said, it's a little over-the-top violent for my particular taste. But I did mostly enjoy it. The pacing is very good. It's a quick-paced movie.
Yeah.
That I didn't remember, but it is. I'm going to go just a solid, like, 75 cars 75. On the midnight meat train.
All right, I think that you and I are pretty much on the same page here because I thought it was really beautifully shot and lit, and the pacing was really good. I don't mind most of the gore; I'm cool with that. But it did go over the top in ways I don't usually like. There's some pretty big plot holes, but overall, it was pretty enjoyable. And plus, I really know why Paul went vegan. So I'm gonna give this 75 cars on the midnight meat train.
All right, all right.
if you want to check this out, if you listen, for whatever reason, listen to this, had it all spoiled, and you still want to watch the movie, it's on Amazon Prime. And hey, and don't forget to give us a rating. 5 stars are usually the best. And yeah, we've got t-shirts now too. So go to our website, bmoviemania.com, check out a t-shirt, and wear it.
That's the idea, yeah.
That's the idea. I think it's what you, well, I mean, you don't have to wear it as long as you buy one.
Yeah, just buy one. You can hang in the closet. That's fine.
So I think that about wraps up this quick take.
Yeah, well, it says, my last note on my notes here about this movie says, must scrub brain. And I have not scrubbed my brain yet, so I should probably go do that.
Yeah, take care of that, Jay. Your brain's looking a little dirty.
I think I have some chest barnacles growing now, so I'm going to go take care of that, too.
Hey, do you have a jar to keep those in? I think you can get those off the B-Movie Mania store, too.
Oh.
Right next to the t-shirts.
I'm just going to go to Costco.
Well, they're probably cheaper there.
Get in bulk.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
You know, this was the first movie I didn't drink through. I drank black tea for my flu and some cherry juice for my gout.
Wow.
So, Paul, keep that in as the stinger.
Ouch!